This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and so we just thought it was a good time to bring in our on-air health expert and nurse practitioner, James Simmons, back to the show to talk about the myths and truths of domestic violence, but specifically within the LGBTQ plus community.
Yes, hello. Because it is something that impacts the community. And I think a lot of times in same-sex relationships, particularly even for men, and being on the other side of domestic violence, not being the one that is, you know, the oppressor, but the victim, people don't take it seriously. Mm-hmm. I feel like that has been a conversation that you've never, people don't really want to talk about or really have, or maybe it's triggering for a lot of people. So if you're listening, just, you know, if this is not meant for you, turn it down. Don't go anywhere, but just turn it down a little bit and then just wait till we move on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate you saying that, actually, Ryan. That's one of my very first things about when talking about domestic violence. Is number one, this a lot of the things we might talk about now are super triggering for an unfortunately large amount of people. So, yeah. You know, I like that. Don't necessarily go away, but turn it down. Or if you need to go away, that's fine because it's a real thing. You know, I'm working on my doctorate, and so I'm all about the literature and I'm all about the research. And I was looking for very specific research about domestic violence in the LGBTQ community, and there just isn't a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that right there really speaks to, you know, how we don't talk about domestic violence because it's so uncomfortable. And then not talking about domestic violence in our communities is really tough. But I did find some statistics that I think are really surprising for a lot of people and really good for everyone to know that this is not, you know, it's not 2% of people. 44% of lesbians and 61% of bi women have reported rape, physical violence, or at least stalking in their lifetime.
Wow.
26% of gay men and 37% of bi men have reported the same thing. And then our trans community, of course, 50% have reported just sexual assault, not even physical violence. The physical violence numbers for members of the trans community is in the 70%.
Yeah, wow. I feel like that is the thing where we're always, and I actually just made that that comment earlier in the show off air, where I was like, it's another story. Every story I'm seeing about a trans woman of color being killed or found, and it's something that is very, you know, triggering for just a lot of people, and it's something that's very sad. But I do want to know, when it comes to, you know, those statistics, and you're saying there's not a lot of research involved, do you feel that it's because, one, people don't want to, like members of our community don't want to talk about it? Do they feel like it's not that serious? Because oftentimes, you know, you'll see, if you're out in WeHo, you'll see two drunk people kind of going at it, mm-hmm. and they're like arguing, and you don't really think anything of it because you're like, oh, the alcohol is in it. But if that, you know, oftentimes people say alcohol is like a truth serum to what's really happening.
100%.
So I guess what are some of the signs before getting into, like, actually there's actual physical violence? What are some of the signs that you have to look out for to knowing that this is the path that you're getting to?
I think that's a really important distinction that you make. You know, there's the I'm drunk, you're drunk, or we're high, we're out. Maybe you were flirting with someone else was flirting with you. I don't like it. I shove you. But that can be so. Typically, when we talk about intimate partner violence, that's not necessarily what we're talking about, but it can be one of those red flags that you're leading towards that direction. Because there is a difference between I'm dating someone, we had a physical altercation one night after drinks, and then we're done. I'm not seeing that person anymore because he hit me or she hit me or whatever, and we're done and that's it. You experienced violence, but there's a different sort of intimate partner and domestic violence when we talk about that. When you're in the context of a relationship and one partner is abusing another and that other partner can't leave or doesn't leave.
Okay. And that's because they're either mentally stuck in it or actually feels like they're being threatened, perhaps?
At 100%. There are so many reasons why, you know, those of us who have not experienced domestic violence or don't have domestic violence from our intimate partners oftentimes don't get it. And that's one of the things I wanted to get to. We can get to maybe later on is like how you help. And one of the things that you do when you're helping someone is to not judge, to not say, this is clearly violence. You're clearly being abused. Can't you see this? Like your partner is not only just disrespecting you, but abusing you. This is an abusive relationship. You have to get out. You have to get out. That's actually the 180 degree wrong way.
Well, so let's get into those red flags. A lot of people either find they know what to expect if they were ended up in this situation. They're like, of course this would happen. That person was this type of person. And they right away show those signs. But what are some of those other things that we might not notice?
You might not notice it because oftentimes it's really subtle. So there, and what the research does show is that there's not a type of person who falls into abusive relationships. So you might be like, oh, that person is really strong or that person is weak, so they're more likely to be abused. That's actually not the case because it's often very subtle. So what happens is small items of control get taken away. So, and it can be very sort of passive aggressive. Like, I don't want to go to your family member's birthday party because I don't like X, Y, and Z. We're not going. But then that turns into a habit. And then all of a sudden, the next thing you know is a year down the road, you haven't seen your family. Or every single text message you send is not reviewed at first. And then your partner's like, well, who was that text to? And you're just like, oh, my girlfriend. But then when that starts becoming a pattern of behavior, and then you realizing that every text you send, every email you send or whatever needs to be reviewed by your partner, you might not even realize over 18 months, 2 years that it's turned into a thing, but it has turned into a thing. And that is that person trying to establish their control and their dominance over you and the situation.
So can I ask really quick, like, obviously we see the, we're hearing these red flags, but I also am thinking about if they are like, there's a couple that is going through some domestic issues and they are going to like the hospital because it's gotten that bad that they need help. What are some of the, like, how do you communicate that on the medical front, saying like going to your doctor and being like, okay, I don't want to make this a big deal, because it also reminds me of a Grey's Anatomy episode that I feel like I watched, where it was like how doctors have to report certain things, and they have to do certain things by the book, but how, especially when people are kind of going through this traumatic experience, how do they have the courage to come and tell someone in that sense?
It is the hardest thing to do for someone once they even have realized that they're in an abusive relationship and they're ready to leave. It's very difficult to leave. And unfortunately, the worst statistics about when the violence gets amped up and when actual murders happen behind domestic violence like that, it's when that person is trying to leave.
Yeah.
And so it's very scary. And, you know, back to your point about hospitals and medical professionals, we are mandatory reporters about a lot of different things. So child abuse, sexual assault. We're not mandatory reporters about two consenting adults in an abusive relationship. We can guide people in the right direction. But what's interesting is, let's say you're an emergency department for someone has, oh, they, quote, fell down the steps and hit their head, when it's very obviously not that type of injury. You know, that it's, we have to be very careful, because if we make a big scene about this and the partner is there, or even if we ask the other partner to leave, that throws up red flags and that actually puts the person in danger.
Wow, that's so, like a really hard scenario to deal with.
Tremendously difficult, tremendously. And no one has the perfect answer for it. You just have to sort of keep figuring out very smart, very tactical ways to communicate without the other partner seeing that communication or hearing that communication or putting the person who's in the abusive relationship in a dangerous situation.
And some of these myths and truths that actually is on hrc.org, they talk about for the LGBTQ plus community, how sometimes the more masculine, bigger and our stronger partner is typically the abuser, but that's not the case.
Absolutely. There's so many different, even, you know, subtleties that happen within the LGBTQ community. It's just like when we think about, well, the person who's more masculine or more dominant must always be the top. That's not true. We know that. And that is not always true in an abusive situation. There are other things that are very specific to the LGBTQ community. So what happens often is that outing is held over someone's head. So if you don't show me that text message, if you don't do this thing that I told you, or if you stayed out to, it was 10:01 and I told you to be home at 10, I'm going to tell your parents you're gay now.
Oh, God.
Whereas heterosexual individuals don't have that held over them. Yeah. So that's one of the things that happens very, very often in the LGBTQ community. You know, for trans persons, things like, you're not a real woman or you're not a real man. Mm-hmm. Those things are used as pieces of power and control over these individuals that aren't necessarily used in the heterosexual community. And so you have, you know, trans individuals who already have completely terrible access to healthcare, to trans-specific healthcare, and then now you have individuals who are in abusive relationships, and they're being told repeatedly, you're not a real woman, you're not a real man. So that's why it's incredibly difficult for those individuals to actually, you know, find the care that they need in their local communities.
That's very toxic. So as we end this, do you have any tools or resources? Because obviously we don't want to just talk about this and just send people away thinking about this stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. There's an LGBT-specific national hotline for this. It's 1-888-843-4564. There's also a trans-specific website called Forge. It's forge-forward.org. But in general, I think it's really important that everybody know if you can always start at the National Domestic Violence Hotline. They do have LGBTQ specialists there.
Oh, good, 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 good.
Yep, and they can point you in the right direction as well. So 1-800-799-SAFE or thehotline.org.
Yeah, because that's always another, like, having those resources, but making sure those resources are trained to deal with different types of peoples and communities.
Absolutely.
Well, James Simmons, thanks as always. Where can people find you on Instagram?
Ask the NP. NP is a nurse practitioner.
Yes.
Okay. We love having you on.
The best.